everybody. Welcome to episode 62 of Fish and Connoisseur a Movie. My name's David Pedler, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, is my favorite sack of shit.
Connor McDuff, Connor McDuff, Connor McDuff, da-na-na-na, Connor McDuff. I tried real hard. I got a good one lined up for Hunger Games, but that's what I got right now. That's all I had. Sorry.
it was an A for effort. Well, as the name would suggest, we did in fact see a movie. What was that movie, Connor McDuff?
It was Spectre, or as the customers of my work like to call it, Spectra.
Spectra.
Because none of them understand, whatever.
The English language.
Yep.
007 is back.
He is.
Daniel Craig's fourth outing as James Bond 007. I like him as Bond.
I've only seen Skyfall, GoldenEye, and Thunderball. Those are the three James Bond
Thunderball.
Movies I've seen. Yeah.
Thunderball's a good one. I like that one.
I did like that one as well. That's Sean Connery's favourite James Bond film he's done.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I'd probably say that's my favourite of his as well. A lot of people disagree with that, but
that's why I like it so much. Out of the three, Skyfall was my favourite. Therefore, Daniel Craig is my favourite. He definitely brings the most to the character, for sure.
So the only Pierce Brosnan one you've seen is GoldenEye?
Yeah.
And was GoldenEye, did you only see it because of the video game?
No, I saw it because I don't know, it was just, I think it was a movie we just had at home, so I used to watch it a lot. I think my dad was a big James Bond fan.
I wouldn't say I'm a James Bond fan, but I do dabble a bit in the Bond. I've watched all of Connery's, because I remember when Skyfall came out, I went on this mission to watch all of the James Bond films, and only got through the Connery saga, which I think was six or seven or something like that.
That's a lot of movies, man.
This is the 24th one. Spectre is number 24. There's 24 James Bond films. Like, that is outrageous. It's cool to see that something's been running so long. And I feel like James Bond has a bit of like a sophistication to it. It almost, even if the last one sucked, people will always come back to it because people love James Bond.
Well, there's a lot out there. There's a lot of James Bond films that are good.
Because Quantum of Solace didn't live up to a lot of fans, especially James Bond fans' expectations. So with Skyfall coming, I know because I was working at the cinema at that time, it definitely didn't douse any of the flame that burns in every James Bond fan's loins when a new Bond film comes out. They're all lining up to see it on the opening night as they would with anyone, even after the last one sucked. So
that's it.
Obviously, coming off Skyfall, which is quite critically acclaimed, Spectre is making a bit of a splash. Would you say you've been at the cinema? What's it been doing?
It's okay. It's not that big, to be honest.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
I mean, it's big. It's a blockbuster, so it's pulling in numbers, but it's not over the top at all.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on with that. I think it's just a bad time of the year. School holidays haven't started yet, and a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things going on in that regard. So I don't really, it's not doing crazy
pressure. It's not killing it. Okay, well, that's interesting. Yeah. I only go off the limited knowledge that I have in terms of trying to book a fucking seat at the IMAX, which has been sold out most nights. not sold out, but like all the good seats have been taken. I tried to see it on Friday and Saturday night, and it was just chockers. So I ended up seeing it last night, which was Sunday, and it was pretty packed. It was a pretty decent, crowd.
Mine wasn't really packed at all. I saw like an 11 o'clock session on the Friday, so it wasn't really that. It was busy, but it wasn't crazy busy.
It had all the oldies.
Yeah,
all the oldies
pretty much.
In there, which, you know, are some of the biggest fans, really.
Yeah, and 10 annoying fucking teenagers that would shut up the whole time. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I hate them so much. Stop it. But yeah, they were fucking annoying. Dead set.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up Thunderball, because I was just reading on Wiki that apparently Spectre, the organization, hasn't appeared in a Bond movies, I think, since Thunderball. I think that was the last one. It was like in the 60s. There was some sort of legal bullshit going on with Ian Fleming, you know, the guy who wrote the books. I don't know. Is he still kicking? I hope he's still around.
I don't know.
He's pretty cool. He's a cool dude. He must be a fucking rich dude.
No, he is, because he said, when talking about the next James Bond film, he said Idris Elba would be too street to play James Bond. In other words, Idris Elba's black, So Ian Fleming didn't want him to play the new James Bond.
Are you talking about as in the Bond now?
No, that, or... like when, so Craig's got one more movie lined up and then, okay. And then the next lot is coming in, I'm pretty sure. And there, people are like, oh, who's Bond going to be? And a lot of people are like, oh, Idris Elba, he's fucking awesome. Like, and he is, he's a great actor and he would be great James Bond. And Ian Fleming's like, nah, he's too street. What the fuck does that mean? I mean, it's literally the most, like, subtly racist thing you could say.
That's, yeah, it's the nicest way of being racist.
It's racism. Like, we all know it is. It's not a secret. Like, he's saying, no, he's black. I don't want him to be black because, you know, whatever. It was so funny, though, listening to that man say that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I wonder who would be up for the next Bond. That would be interesting.
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
I'm kidding. But because he's fucking
Chris Pratt just plays every iconic character because he's just the everyman.
Chris Pratt as Indiana Jones. Chris Pratt as young Han Solo. Chris Pratt as James Bond. Chris Pratt as Jar Jar Binks. Fuck off.
Jar Jar Binks. No, that's I can't even support that. I'm a big Pratt fan, but that's not happening. He's got to be cool and British. It's too bad that Hugh Jackman missed the boat because he would have been a good Bond.
He refused it. Didn't he turn it down?
Oh, did he actually turn it down?
Is that, I don't know.
Oh, he did because of Wolverine, wasn't it?
Yeah, something
like that, yeah.
Liam Neeson turned it down.
Yeah, which is funny because he didn't want to do action films.
Yeah, I know. How great's that?
And now he's like the king.
Should we move on to Spectre?
Yeah, let's move on to Spectre.
All right.
Tell me what happened in this movie.
By the way, let me just clarify, which is a phrase I haven't used since the beginning. But just to clarify, if anyone's been listening for quite a while, you might have noticed a shift here where David used to write like a full synopsis and read it out. And now the motherfucker, he got me to do it once. And I think I did it pretty well. And now this fucking guy doesn't even have to say anything. He's just like, all right, tell me about the movie. And I do it every time. So, fuck you, David, you cheeky shit. Well played.
Mm. Thanks for pointing out that you like to bitch about and the only bit of work you have to do for this podcast.
excuse me, I do plenty. I upload the file at the end of the thing. Often late, often forget to send you the link for it. And therefore, you have less time to edit. Basically, I'm a giant pain in the ass. Moving on to my one fucking job.
On that note, what was the storyline of Spectre?
So, the storyline of Spectre is James Bond's on a little mission, and this guy talks about this secret, super secret club that's evil, and he's like, "Oh fuck, I need to fucking figure out what this super secret club is." And so he finds out that the super secret club is run by, it's called Spectre, and it's run by some dude who's played by Christoph Waltz. And he's like, what the fuck, super secret club? Christoph Waltz somehow knows about James Bond. Oh, what the fuck, spooky, scary skeletons. Batista makes an entrance. He wants the European intercontinental belt, so he's gone to Europe to beat James Bond, who currently holds the championship. No, but Batista's in it, and he's like the main henchman. He's
the hitman.
He's chasing after Jimmy. James Bond's like, what the fuck's going on? And then he meets up with old mate from Quantum of Solace, I think, and he's like, oi, what the fuck, Spectre? And Mr. White's like, hey, I'll let you know, I don't want to talk about it, but my daughter knows about it, so go find her. Also, I'm going to kill myself now. And then he kills himself. And then James Bond finds the daughter, and then the daughter's like, oh, I don't want to talk to you, James Bond, because you're going to lead me into danger. And then James Bond leads her into danger, and then she's like, I don't want to have sex with you, James Bond, because you're a lady killer. And then she has sex with him, and then they get captured by Christoph Waltz, and it turns out that James Bond was Christoph Waltz's adopted
stepbrother. Yeah, like stepbrother.
Which, yeah, moving on from that, don't want to give away my feelings towards that plot point in the fucking synopsis. Fucking, and then Christoph Waltz is like, hey, like you were adopted by our family, and I was a little disappointed in that, so I killed my dad. So he killed his dad, and then he ran away and like imposed his death and blah, and so now he... Christoph Waltz wants to take over the world. He-Man, I'll destroy the world. The hot topic right now is the government spying on us. So this whole thing is about him controlling pretty much NSA and the government spying on everyone always. And how
they're basically going to launch. They're basically about to launch Skynet.
Yeah. Because, you know, even as an evil villain, it's a smart thing to do. Obviously not! It's like Christoph Waltz has never seen a movie. Anyway, he's about to do it and fucking surprise, James Bond stops him and then, like, he beats him at the base but doesn't kill him because that would be simple. And then he goes back to Britain and, oh my God, because he didn't kill Christoph Waltz, Christoph Waltz is fucking back in Britain. And so then Christoph Waltz is like, I'm going to blow you up now. And then, hey, guess what happens? James Bond fucking lives. And so James Bond gets out and saves his girlfriend. And then James Bond says, I'm going to get you again, Christoph Waltz. And this time it's for real. He doesn't actually say that. Fucking hell, Christoph Waltz is in a helicopter and using a pistol, James Bond blows up the fucking helicopter. And then Christoph Waltz survives and then gets out of the helicopter and he's crawling on the floor and James Bond points a gun to his head. And I mean, at this point, you'd think that the secret agent who has been, it's been jammed down your throat that he's a killer for the whole movie, would kill the man because it's the only logical option for a guy who ran the world for so long. But what actually happens
he leaves him to survive for later sequels.
Yeah, he's like, all right, see you, man, I've got to go, and then and leaves. Oh, Christoph Waltz, it turns out, which is a great way to, like, totally dismantle any sort of integrity the other films had before it, turns out that Christoph Waltz was behind every single, like, evil thing.
They're all Spectre agents.
Which, I mean, I want to talk about that immediately before I forget about it. That's fucking dumb. That's it. That's a plot, by the way. I think that's silly. I think, like, while it's cool and it's like, wow, what a plot twist. Like, it was Christoph Waltz all along. Like, this character hasn't made an appearance in any of the other films. And in this film, Christoph Waltz's performance is lackluster because he's barely fucking in it. He plays the same guy he played in, he plays the Jew Hunter, whatever he plays the guy from Inglourious Basterds. Yeah. They're like, he's really smooth and suave. And I know he can do more than that because he fucking plays, you know, Schultz in Django.
Well, he's won two fucking Oscars, so.
Yeah, he's a straight pimp daddy. But, like, in this he's playing the same character, but he's barely in the film. And then out of nowhere, they don't even show you. They just tell you it's like, Christoph Waltz is literally like, the line is, I'm the author to all your pain, which is great dialogue, by the way. I'm not even joking. That's fantastic. That's a great line. But it's not really fucking substantial because the whole time it hasn't been him that's done all these bad things. In Skyfall, Silver was fucking scary, man. Like, I love Skyfall, by the way. I love that movie. Silver, the bad guy in that, the guy from No Country for Old Men, he was an excellent villain. He was super intimidating. He had, like, a personal vendetta against M. Like, James Bond was nothing to him. Like, James Bond doesn't even, like, kill him in that, I'm pretty sure. It's an excellent, or he does at the very end. I don't know.
Yeah, he throws the knife into his back. Yeah.
It's very, like, it's not like James Bond won out of outwitting him. James Bond won because Silver didn't give a fuck. Like, he's about to kill himself. He's about to kill himself in M. Like, it's such a brilliant ending. And then you've got, I'm like, fuck, like, Skyfall on its own, being the one Daniel Craig James Bond film I've seen, held up. And then this one, it's like, oh, Christoph Waltz was the big bad guy the whole time, which would be fine, but he's not anywhere near the level of Silver. Like, he doesn't bring anything or do anything to show me, oh, right, oh my God, this guy's, this is next level. Like, James Bond's been a plaything this whole time. This is next level. Because James Bond's fine the whole way through this. He kind of just deals with it. Anyway, that's what I wanted to bring up. I think it's silly. I think it kind of tarnishes. Now I've got to go watch Skyfall and be like, oh, I mean, like, this is all Christoph Waltz doing this shit. No, it fucking isn't.
I watched Skyfall yesterday before going and seeing Spectre just to get a little refresher on that one. And look, I didn't mind Silver as a bad guy. I think he played it well. He played it a lot better than what Christoph Waltz was able to pull off here. I kind of did and didn't like that it was his personal vendetta because that movie was more about M than Bond, Skyfall. Yeah. Like, 100%. Like, Bond is just there as a bodyguard, basically, and because it's a James Bond film. To go ahead and say that Blofeld, Christoph Waltz, was behind this personal vendetta makes no sense. Like, that's just dumb. It totally makes that whole movie irrelevant. Like, you don't go back and watch Skyfall and be like, oh, he's in the shadows pulling the fucking strings. He's not. It's dumb. It's really, really stupid.
It is.
And it actually pisses me off because I like the idea that James Bond goes out and fights all different organizations. Like, it's not just Spectre. Like, yeah, I know back in the the early Bond days, Spectre was like the bad guy. Like the bad guy, they're like the foot soldiers of Ninja Turtles or whatever. You know, the Shredder's army fucking is Spectre.
Yeah.
But to me, like, and this was a small reservation that I had coming into this film, was like, it's kind of making it a little bit comic booky to me rather than just straight up spy shit where he's fighting the newest big bad that's just, you know, reared its head because he knocked off the last one. The Quantum, in Quantum of Solace, from what I remember, like, you know, they're an organization, but it was one organization. He sorted them out. They're done. Then he moves on to Silver. He's done.
Yeah.
Fucking now it's like, hold on. These guys were just doing this the whole time. But the thing that pisses me off the most is that this is all a fucking personal vendetta for Blofeld.
Oh, I know. Do you know what? Because you know what they would have done? Director Sam Mendes sat down with the crew and cast, and he's like, okay. What worked about Skyfall? And people are like, it was a personal story. A really well-developed, simple personal story. And he went, yes. So we've got this big bad guy, right? He runs an organization, the biggest evil organization in the world. And it just so happens he's James Bond's brother. And everyone went, I don't know, Sam. And Sam snorted a line of coke, stabbed his first AD in the heart, and he said, we're fucking doing it, cunt. And they did. Yeah.
It is just so stupid. Why would you go that way? It, like, oh. Look, I was even on the fence with the personal business in Skyfall. Like, I like the fact that that James Bond is just this rogue. We don't really know much about his past. I haven't seen all the Bond films. I'm sure they go into it at some point. But, like, a stepbrother that he's never heard of before, who just happens to be the leader of the fucking worst organization in the world that wants world domination, like, no. Yeah. It just is silly. It's silly. It doesn't make sense. And it's like, it's actually like a big slap in the face to the great Christoph Waltz, because he is so fantastic and he is just given rubbish to play with here. Like, to me, I thought with, when I heard that Christoph Waltz was the villain in this, I was like, how has this not happened yet? Because he is the ultimate villain. Like, in Inglourious Basterds, he just fucking knocks that shit out of the park. And he can do the James Bond villain monologue. Like, the opening scene to Inglourious Basterds is a James Bond villain monologue.
Yep.
It's so perfect. But the problem here is he almost is just too classic James Bond villain. He actually says, when he's flying away in the helicopter at the end, like something to the degree of goodbye, Mr. Bond, or something like that. You know, when he thinks he's killed Bond in the explosion. I was like, no.
Well, I mean, like, they're trying to cover those cliches because Skyfall took such a big jump away from all of them, and then this one's trying to be like, you know, trying to get back to its roots, and you can feel that. Like, there's a lot of things that are meant you kind of giggle at. Like James Bond falling down almost to his death, and he lands on a couch. Like,
yeah, it was great. It was a great gag. But this is what I actually do want to segue into that. If you're ready to move on,
yeah, sure.
Cool. That is one thing that I actually did appreciate. I do like the tongue-in-cheek nature of this film because it takes me back to the Connery era, where he was just a rat bag. Like, he's a little smart ass. He's a little rogue motherfucker who just goes and does what he wants, and he sleeps with all the women.
Yep.
It's fucking cool. And the Daniel Craig Bond that we've seen has been fucking love-struck. Like, Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace is all... He has a love story, which was kind of nice. It was good to see that because Casino Royale was effectively, like, the start of Bond, I guess. And he is young and stupid, falls in love, and gets involved, and it works out badly for him. So then he becomes the Sean Connery that we know and love. I'm cool with that. And I like what he is now. He says stupid one-liners here and there. I like that. The corniness of it is fun. But
sorry.
What the hell was that?
That was a sneeze. That was the most aggressive sneeze I've ever done.
It was totally so aggressive. Unintentional. Jeez. But saying, yeah, going back to how kind of lame Christoph Waltz is, like, they don't even have fun with him. Like, he's not fun. He's just lame. Bond falling on a couch is fun. That's awesome. Him saying, like, some funny one-liners is fun. It's really cool. Him just hooking up with every chick in the fucking room, that's cool. But it's, like, not what they did with Christoph, and it's really disappointing.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, like, you've got a lot of potential there, and I think he actually dragged, like, brought in a big crowd.
And God, it took way too long to get to him. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, okay, that's what I want to talk about, is, like, he is the main villain, and they emphasize that and put such a big specification on that. But he's in it for, like, 20 minutes, and when he's introduced, it's, like, 40 minutes into the film for one, and then he's gone again till the very end. Like, legitimately, the last 20 minutes he's in the film. That's it. And it's really disappointing, because he could have been really intimidating. Instead, they've replaced him with Batista as the kind of big bad guy, cat and mouse. But nobody wants to see a henchman do all the work. And Batista was, while entertaining to watch, he was nothing. He's nothing.
Oh, I don't know. I like, well, he was, yeah, you might be right in terms of he's really is nothing compared to the big bad that is Christoph Waltz. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Batista was fucking awesome in this movie, just quietly. I enjoyed every second he was on this. Yeah. Like, they did a smart thing, because he was quite good in Guardians, but I found that when he sort of spoke in Guardians, even though it was kind of his character, he was just a little bit awkward. So he doesn't say a fucking word in this, and he's just super intimidating. Yeah. Like, when we first see him, he gouges some motherfucker's eyes out with, like, silver fucking fingernails, and it's just basically takes this guy's job on the spot, and then chases down Bond, which I thought was a fun little rivalry.
Yeah, that car chase, though, that initial car chase was so disappointing. Oh, my God.
Oh, really? Bell, did you think,
like,
so?
Well, Bell, who's been on the podcast before, she made a good point where, like, one of Bond's biggest problems is that it has just way too many set pieces every time. And that was the point. I saw that. I'm like, really? Like, the car chase was boring. Like, we know Bond's getting away. It's the first 40 minutes of the film. And it's really disappointing to watch. They just drive. Sometimes they drive downstairs, and then they drive a little bit. The only good bit was when he had Old Mate in front of him, and he had to, like floor it.
He,
like,
pushed the little car, yeah.
But the rest of it, like, nothing's really happening until the very end, where he, like, does it.
Well, the whole, like, this is, I will say one thing, because I saw that car chase in a whole different light, because I saw that car chase as an exposition dump, which it is.
It is, for sure.
And I think it's a fucking brilliant way to dump exposition like that. Yeah. Because it, like, what better way to make something not boring, well, I didn't find it boring, you seem to, but, like, than to have somebody, like, figuring out the next steps in the story through, you know, through a phone while having a car chase with Dave Bautista. Like, I think that's fucking brilliant. I will agree that the car chase isn't probably up to scratch with the rest of the action set pieces, which we'll talk about in a second, but I think it's pretty good filmmaking on their behalf in terms of exposition dumping.
Yeah, I agree. And I knew what it was when I was watching it, because they're having a conversation. I'm like, oh, that's a good way to cover dialogue. But at the same time, regardless of whether or not they're trying to cover dialogue, they are still at the same time creating an action scene. And it's an action scene that covers dialogue. And while it's impressive that they did that instead of a dialogue scene, it still wasn't a great action scene. That's the bottom line. Like,
yeah, so I don't remember it being quite that boring, but now you're saying it. Like, I think I liked the character building that was happening. Well, not the character, like, the relationship building between him and Batista, just that bit where he comes up next to him and has that look. You know, realistically, why didn't Dave Batista just take that chance to fucking ram him?
Yeah.
But that was fun, because later on we echo that when James Bond is in a fucking plane flying next to Batista he's kidnapping the chick later on, which is
a great moment. Yeah.
Holy shit. Can we, like,
yeah, go.
Let's talk about the action now, man. Like, James Bond action is always top notch.
And
this
movie is
no fucking exception. The opening scene in this film.
Oh my God, it's so fucking awesome. It gave me goosebumps, man. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. The opening scene is like, if they played that as a short film, if they're like Spectre and it's a short film that someone made and that was it, I would fucking cream. Like that
fucking
opening
five out of five. That would have been like it.
Oh my God. It was the best setup for a film ever.
For those who haven't seen it, in the middle of the Day of the Dead celebration in New Mexico, Bond is chasing down a bad guy, as he always does. And this bad guy gets into a helicopter. So Bond jumps in and proceeds to have a fight in the helicopter above thousands of people at this parade while the helicopter's flipping over and over and over. And eventually, you know, Bond kills this dude, steals his Spectre ring, which was a bit interesting because did he go in there wanting that ring? He just sort of saw it, didn't he?
He
was just kind of like, I'm just going to fucking take this, which I found a bit convenient that he, but besides that, it's just so good. That is so fucking cool. What a way to open a film. Yeah. God damn, mind blowing. And I love Daniel Craig does the best. Holy shit. I just survived that face. Yeah. when he pulls the, you know, kills the dude and pulls the fucking helicopter back into control, his face of just like, dear God, I just did
Daniel,
that.
Daniel Craig is so, like, disgustingly good looking. Like, it makes me really frustrated that a man looks as good as Daniel Craig does, because he is a fucking good looking dude, I tell you what. He is.
He is quite a handsome man.
He's a handsome devil.
He fits the Bond persona very well. The next scene, one we just brought up, was that fucking plane chase, like, in the snow. That is just outstanding. Holy crap. When the plane's like flying through the trees and losing all its fucking wings and shit, trying to get to, you know, the girl and Dave Bautista in the car. Like, I've never seen anything like that. That's just incredible. Like, how do they keep topping themselves?
I know, it is fucking on point. But moving on from that, the best scene in the whole thing, bar the first scene, action-wise, is the train fight up until the end. The end was bad, but that was fucking sick, man. I love that train fight so much. That was the coolest thing ever.
With Batista?
Yeah, with Batista and James Bond. Yeah. They're sitting down and, like, they're having a... You know something's going to happen, but they're having a... Like, a nice meal, and then that
nice
shot...
Meal, yeah.
That shot in the fucking glass, and you see him, you're like, oh, fuck. And it just goes off. Like, it was awesome action. That scene caused Daniel Craig, it was either for 2 weeks or 2 months, to stop filming. They had to hold filming because Batista fucked him up. Fucked him up.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he do?
He fucked up his knee.
Oh.
So they were like, because apparently Batista is really rough, like really powerful and really strong. So he's both. And he just...
Which I can imagine.
Because like when you watch it, it's legit. Like that's Daniel Craig getting thrown into shit. And... It was awesome. Like, it was so good. It was so intense. Like, I was, like, laughing with it. I'm like, fuck yeah, man. Like, this is just the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen.
I did like, even, like, he puts Batista on fire and this guy keeps coming. Like, fucking hell. He's so intimidating in this role. Mr. Hinks or something is his name, I think.
He was a boss.
And then the way that he finishes him off is quite cool as well, with, you know, tying the rope around his neck and all the barrels go out. And he does he say shit? Is that the word he says?
I don't know,
like,
what he says.
It's like the first fucking word that he says in the whole thing, and it's perfect. I did expect him to come back, though. I didn't think he was done. I didn't think he would kill Batista that easy. You don't see him die. And there was a few times later on in the film, there's like a big guy in the background, and I kept thinking it was him. It was a big bald guy.
Yeah.
Another generic henchman. Hat off to Batista. He did a fucking good job in this. He did a real good job.
It was fun to watch. And it was a good scene. That was just, oh man, that was so tight. I loved it, man. I loved that so much.
Something comes with Bond movies every time. We always get a Bond girl.
Yeah.
In this one, I was under the impression going in that we were going to get two Bond girls, though, because there was Monica Bellucci.
Well, you did get two Bond girls.
Well, he makes out with two.
Yeah. He fucks the widow.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, I was under the impression we were going to get two, and, like, I suppose technically we did, but she's not really in it for much. I watched a interview with Monica Bellucci, who was at one point one of my big fucking crushes back in the day, because about 10 years ago, she was in... You know, Matrix Reloaded. She was in Shoot 'Em Up.
Yeah.
She was in Tears of the Sun, and she was fucking sexy. Like, she still is pretty sexy. I haven't really seen much of her of late. I think she's been doing a lot of French films. So I was kind of keen to see her get amongst it, and I was kind of happy that for a change we were kind of getting, you know, she's not really old, but like an older Bond girl, because they're always little young things, and sometimes it's a little bit out of whack with the age of Bond. Like, I think it was one of the Roger Moore ones. He actually said the chick could have been, you know, his granddaughter. It's just awkward. Jesus. Yeah, Monica Bellucci, she was good for what she did. I would have liked to have seen her stick out a little bit more, but our, I guess, the actual Bond girl, Madeleine Swann, or Lee Seoyeux-Dux, I don't know how to say her name, is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, she was good. I really liked her. She was a banger, too. She's really attractive.
Super cute. Mm. Super cute. And she's got this intelligence about her that, you know, some Bond girls don't. So it was good to see that she could hold her own. Like, she comes in and saves Bond a few times. But just in terms of performance, she was fantastic. I thought she was great. I did feel a bit awkward. I still think that he's probably a bit old to be making out with her, but, you know.
It's James Bond. He's always old.
He does what he wants, yeah.
He does what he wants. He's a little rapey every single time, and everyone is, for some reason, never questions it. Everyone's just like, okay, well, I guess if you're going to pin a girl against the wall, then that's
you may as well right. make out with him.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, whatever. Look, we've spoken a lot about the good, and now my favorite part of life
is hating.
She is talking about the bad, yes. And this movie has quite a lot of bad to discuss. One of the things, and one of the biggest things, was keeping Christoph Waltz in the dark for so long, which we've gone through. The other thing is the plot in this film is so, so fucking convoluted. Holy good God. This movie makes no fucking sense. Like, it's so ridiculous. To the point where it gets a little too much. James Bond's known for plots that don't really, you know, they're not ever too fucking crash hot. Even Skyfall's plot's a bit silly. Like, this whole grand plan that Silver has, and he's like climbing up a ladder, and James Bond just arrives. He's like, you arrived in the nick of time, and a fucking train bursts through the tunnel, you know? Like,
yeah.
This movie does that. And a lot of that stuff is just it's just like, oh, what the fuck is going on here? Like, he finds this ring, and then he goes...
Just randomly.
Randomly finds the ring. And then there's this whole subplot where there's another bad guy who's working for an agency against the 00 agents, and, like, he wants security. See? He's a double agent. There's all that. And then there's M, and then there's Pennyworth and... Pennyworth or Penny Money?
Money Penny.
I don't fucking know. Oh, man. Facebook viewers are going to give me shit for that.
But I feel like that's a thing in every James Bond film.
I know, like, it is, but it doesn't make it okay. It's still... This one was super convoluted.
That's true. Even with this one, I had to go and read, like, the Wikipedia plot summary to sort of pick up some of the shit that was going on. But I'm pretty shitty at following spy films. Like, you miss one little bit of information. They always drop so many names, and I just can't keep up with it sometimes. But I am just there to see Bond fuck shit up, and we got plenty of that. But you are right.
Look, there just needs to be something there, like a little bit.
And it's weird because I thought with the whole, you know, this is the bad guys, we're going after the bad guys, the Spectre, I thought they might simplify the story a little bit more, because normally it's like all this espionage and there's all these government officials that these names are dropped and someone over in Iran has done this and some guy in fucking Italy is doing this and whatever. But this, I thought it would simplify it a bit, but it really didn't.
Yeah.
And I really didn't like the whole, just the randomness of him finding that ring, like during the fight. And he's just like, oh, wait, I might steal this guy's ring. Like, why'd you steal that ring?
I don't know. I just didn't like the fucking randomness of like everything happening. Like everything's just kind of fucking random. He's like, goes into the old building for the 00 agents and suddenly somehow like Christoph Waltz is like, you know what? I just got blown up, but I'll fly over and I'll set up an elaborate themed thing. Like, there's no reason to do it. He sets all these pictures up of all the people that have died because of Christoph Waltz. And I'm like, hey, that's cool, but it makes no fucking sense because the guy just got blown up before. How the fuck did he get to London before Bond? And how did he have the time and all the effort to put all these things up? It's just illogical. It's like when Christian Bale in Dark Knight Rises fucking lights up the bat signal and fire when he gets back and there's a nuke to go off. It's the same thing. It's just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, I never for once thought that he blew up in that thing. I assumed that he got away or went into a bunker or something.
Christoph Waltz definitely got away, but I mean, he's fucked up. He just got shrapnel to the eye.
Oh, that's, yeah, you're right.
I'm just saying, like...
How long? I'm assuming there was quite a bit of time in between that, though. They don't really point that out, but I'm assuming there was.
I thought it was, like, instant. I thought it was, like, they get back straight away.
Oh, well, in that case, yeah, Blofeld's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
He's cleaned up that eye real well.
It's just, I don't know. He was just like, you know what, I'm fine. He also looks like Dr. Evil.
Which is actually the point. So, Blofeld is the big bad of the old James Bond films.
So, is it the same guy?
It's the same character. Oh. So, this is effectively like a reboot. Because even they've now got Moneypenny, they've got M, they've got Q, they've got Blofeld. So, a lot of like the big... And they've got Spectre in there. So a lot of the elements that I remember from the originals are back. And I don't know how I feel about this because it's like, I'm not, like I've said, I'm not really a Bond fan. So I'm not like offended or anything, but like, I don't really need these characters to come back. They were great back in the day. Let's keep them there.
Can you explain to me the Bond, like how Bond works? I'm awfully confused. So are they chronological? I don't understand.
Look, I don't know. I know like there's always been like overlapping arcs. Yeah. Like Spectre in the originals was always like a presence. And they sort of may make mention to old missions, but they're generally, from what I remember, and like Bond fans, please don't fucking slam me because I know there are arcs, like I've said, but I think they're almost always kind of standalone. Like, you don't need to go and watch the other 23 films before you watch this one.
Yeah.
You know? But I guess it helps, like anything. Like, if you've got some sort of background, you're going to be like, if you'd known that Donald Pleasance was Blofeld back in the day, you would have been like, fuck, because there's a big reveal. Like, you know when you see the cat? There's, like, just a random cat cruising around while...
Oh, is that the thing?
Bond's getting tortured. That's a Blofeld thing. Like, back in the day, he always had this white cat. Dr. Evil's based off. Dr. Evil is ripping off Blofeld. And he, you know, he has Mr. Bigglesworth back in so, like, Austin Powers. So
is this movie set before the other James Bond films? Like, is it... Are the Daniel Craig Bonds... Is it chronological? Is 007 and James Bond, like, a name... Like a title? Or is James Bond his actual name... And that they just don't give a fuck. Like, they start a new Bond, and it's a new thing.
Well, what I have read about this one is that this is basically the start of Spectre. So, I'm assuming Spectre will come back. Like, we all know Christoph Waltz is going to get away, and he's going to be a big bad back in probably the next film. I'm not sure if it's true, but from what I think this one now leads into, like, Dr. No...
Yeah.
Goldfinger, all that shit. It goes on from there, which is really interesting. And I do want to bring this up because Casino Royale was the start of Bond, effectively. Yeah. Like, he's young, he's reckless, he's, yeah, whatever. Then Skyfall, he's like an old dog.
Yeah.
They're talking about that he's redundant, he's done. And now we get to Spectre, which is the start of the rest of the series, of potentially. And we still, like, and he's still supposed to be old. Like, even, and now, like, I know it's more, like, effective to what this time is. Because, like, why do we need people in the field when, people on a computer can do more damage before breakfast?
Yeah.
Like, and that's an interesting point that needs to be said. But I kind of keep getting annoyed that they keep talking about him being old, though. Because he should not be that old if he's going to continue to go on to another 20 or so missions.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just don't understand the storyline. Does the plot doesn't make any sense?
So to answer your question, I don't think there's a solid one, but I think there is an over arc.
Yeah, something going on there.
Overlaying arc that's there. So yeah. Can we talk about him shooting that fucking helicopter down now?
Yeah, that's kind of like, I feel like we're coming to a close on this, and that's a good way to, we'll climax on the climax. The fucking, oh my god, of all the dumb things. All the dumb things.
I can't go that far. Look, I can accept a lot of things, but a man taking down a fucking helicopter with a PP7 or whatever the hell his gun is.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, makes
like even
no
even
sense.
when he was doing it, I was like, "Oh, yeah, good one, James." Like you just giving him a few fires, like, cuz you're pissed off. You're not going to get him. Yeah. He's going to get away. I actually expected Blofeld to just get away. I thought he was gone.
Yeah.
Because he has to go on to be the big bad. They've set him up. They've brought back this character. Let's let him fly off into the sunset and we'll have another fucking, you know, another Bond, another showdown, another day. But it's then the music kind of stops for a bit and he aims and it hits the, like, just under the propellers.
Oh my God, why? Why did you do that?
Like, I'm all good for the lightheartedness that this fucking film is bringing, but it's just, that is, I can't go with that. That's just dumb. Like, it's stupid. Somebody needed to get a rocket launcher out or something to bring that motherfucker down. You can't take him down with a handgun. Yeah. Like, God damn it.
Yep. I totally agree. Completely. It's, oh man, that bit, I was just like, what? Like, that was, I think it was that point where I'm like, yeah, this isn't very good. Is what I kind of thought. Like, that was my reaction. Because I was, like, super hyped for this movie. And that was the point where I was just like, yeah, this is not great at this point here. this is not a great moment for anyone involved.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I probably would have preferred that Blofeld just got away rather than the awkward exchange at the end as well. It's like, oh, look at you, James Bond, you're the bigger man. But, like, and effectively, it just made me feel like this movie is just setting up Spectre, which is annoying. This is kind of like a Mockingjay Part 1 in some ways, because the whole movie is him just fucking investigating Spectre.
You never say that again, ever.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's the Part 1 of something. Like, the next movie might be like, well, I assume will go on to be, we already know Spectre, we can just go in and fucking... Jump in head first sort of thing. But
and the bad guy's Liam Neeson. And Liam Neeson is James Bond's cousin, who also owns all the nukes in the world. Sorry. Just the next plot line.
I actually wouldn't be against a Liam Neeson bad guy in Bond.
No, it's not the Liam Neeson bad guy part. It's just the plot that would be an issue.
Oh, it has to be. It always has to be something like that. Yeah. Which, you know, you come to expect it. But... yeah, it's kind of annoying just thinking that the most of this movie is him just looking for this Spectre image, and then when we get to it, like, we get a cool kind of torture scene, which was fucking painful, by the way.
Yeah, that was too much. Too much. I liked it.
But other than that, it's nothing really, really crazy going on like we would have in, from what I remember, of Casino Royale and Skyfall.
Yeah, pretty much. I agree. But look, I don't know. I'm done. I want to wrap up if you want to wrap up.
Let's wrap it up.
I thought the action sequences in this film were, of course, really good. The opening scene was a fucking short film in itself, and it was brilliant from start to finish. But the whole film, in its entirety, suffered because of a really poor plot and some just ridiculous, ridiculous tropes that they went way overboard with. Overall, I give it a 3 out of 5.
Cool. I really liked the action in this, and that's what I came to see. So I've left the cinema happy. I'm impressed, especially by that fucking opening scene, especially by the plane scene. I was even impressed by that massive explosion when he blows up Spectre's headquarters, which was apparently real.
Wow.
That's real. That's the biggest filmed explosion, apparently, on from what I read. Which is interesting because this film is also one of the most expensive films ever made. It had a $245 million budget, which is just fucking crazy.
It's cray cray.
And for them to drop that sort of money on such a pretty weak script, is pretty disappointing. Like, they could have gone a long way with this. What's his name? Christoph Waltz is just underused. We talked about this a lot with Star Wars, how Hayden Christensen was pretty fucking cardboard, but we're pointing the finger at George Lucas there. We got to point the finger at Sam Mendes here. Like, how do you put Christoph Waltz on a leash? Like, Jesus Christ, it just shows how good fucking Quentin Tarantino is. So, at the end of the day, this was a Bond film. It goes back to the roots of what I like of Bond. Its tongue-in-cheek nature was really fun, and overall, I actually really enjoyed it. So, 3.5 out of 5.
Nice. That's a fair score. I can respect that. Anyway, what a great review this has been. I had a great time chatting with you. Guess what's up next week, you fuckers?
Well, you don't even have to wait till next week. We're going to release this one early. Hunger Games, midnight screening this Wednesday. It'll actually be today when this when we post this up. Me and Connor will be going to the midnight screening, not together because we live in different towns, but we will be seeing it at midnight. We will be reviewing it immediately after, possibly with a few beverages. For those people who've been listening to the podcast since the start, you would have listened to our ridiculous review of Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1.
Yeah.
And we hope to recapture some of the magic that happened with that one. And then next week, we'll be back into our Star Wars retrospective.
Revenge of the Sith. Sith. Fuck.
Those Siths. Those Sith motherfuckers. And guys, look, I really want to thank everybody out there. I want to thank the listeners who have been tuning in for our retrospective. It's been really popular and we're getting overwhelming praise from you guys. And this is fantastic. I'm loving it, and we're loving that you guys are loving the material.
Some people are being negative, though, and David's not going to say anything to you guys. But fuck all of you, you fucking bastards. You fucking pricks. Someone said our opinion on the film is that our reviews were every hipster faggot's opinion on a Star Wars film. Now, David needs to be respected, so he's not going to say anything. I don't give a fuck, though. I do sketch comedy. I have no dignity. Now, listen here, little shit. You need to understand that just because we have an opinion that may be agreed by a majority audience doesn't make us hipster faggots. You're the hipster faggot for liking Attack of the Clones, you filthy underground piece of shit. I hope you fucking rot in your filthy fucking basement with your filthy fucking prequel merchandise. You snotty shit. Oh, I'm just messing with you. Thanks. I actually really like that stuff. That makes me laugh a lot, those comments. David sent them through to me and oh fuck, they were great. It's golden. Thanks heaps, guys. I really appreciate it as well. It's really good for us.
But that's right. We do want the bad with the good, and it is fun to listen. But you know, listen, we drop our opinion, and it all comes from the how entertained and how much we enjoyed the film. And we're not gonna stop giving you that opinion. That's the bottom line, because Fish said so.
Yeah, because Fish is. A Barramundi said so.
Yeah, that's right. All right, can we wrap this shit up?
yeah. Hey, fuck you all. Play the music, Fish.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. Fish and Connor Saw a Movie does not own any rights to the film Spectre, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track, the name's Bond, James Bond, is performed by David Arnold.
Fucking hell.